Let's rejoice with Aloma.
Jesus.
Aloma.
Eba mi ra papa, eba mi ra papa, boku mi ra papa, eba mi ra papa, ra papa, ra papa, ra papa, ra papa, ra papa, ra
I'm gonna get it.
Go back to your seat. Thank you very much. God bless you. May go back to your seat.
Oh God, man obedient.
This is it.
Asim na buti ne ne no ya ne zuwa. We man a woke up and get on our feet.
Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Okay, I said you should clap for Jesus. You didn't clap. Okay, clap for Aloma. Clap for Brother Aloma. Today is a wedding service. And quickly, we want to ask before we continue. Hallelujah. I can assure you we'll be very brief and we close. Amen. You are the one giving her, Sister Uchechi, out to be wedded to Brother Aloma.
Yes.
May you introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Mr. Benson Egesimba.
What's your relationship with her?
I am the senior brother of you, Mrs.
Representing Uchechi. The family.
Yeah.
Can we clap our hands, church? Hallelujah. Before we collect this sister from you, We want to ask, in this church, we don't wed people that have not paid their dowry. You know this young man?
Yes.
See, I went, look at him. Look at him. Eh?
Yes.
Has he fulfilled all the requirements for you to give out your daughter to him to marry? Eh? Can we have a microphone that we can hear him, please? Hallelujah. Can we have a microphone, please? I'm still waiting for a bit.
Yes, all protocol has been
observed. All protocol. Oh. Is he owing anything?
No.
It's not owing anything.
It's not.
Brothers, clap your hands now. It try. Amen. See, you have to clap for him because some of you, na money make una never go, never marry up to now. It's true, na money. So once again, brother, clap for this brother, Loma. Thank you, thank you. Do you permit me now to join them together as husband and wife?
Yes.
Thank you. Therefore, I collect her from you. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Before you sit down, praise God. Before you sit down, because if the answer is contrary, you have to go back, then we share the grace. We close. We start from the church. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here now in the sight of God and in the presence of this congregation to join our brother Aloma and Sister Uchechi in holy matrimony, which is commended to be honorable among all men, and therefore is not by any to be entered into unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, advisedly, and in the fear of God. Into this holy estate, our brother and our sister present now come to be joined. Now listen, church. If any man or woman can show a just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together, let him or her now speak, or hereafter hold his or her peace. Any objection? Going? Gone. Clap your hands now. I have another question for the two of you. I require and charge you both, Brother Loma and Sister Uchechi, as you will surely answer at the dreadful day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either of you know any impediment why you may not be lawfully joined together in holy matrimony, you do now confess it. For be well assured, but if any persons are joined together otherwise than as God's word doth allow, their marriage is not lawful. But Aloma, any impediment?
No impediment.
No impediment. Sister Uchechi, any impediment?
No impediment.
No impediment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the impediments is that we are not marrying a pregnant woman. That's one of the impediments. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Until I pronounce you husband and wife, Aloma and Sister Uchechi, you are not supposed to even kiss. Sister, if your boyfriend has kissed you, as you leave here today, get anointing oil and toothbrush and brush that thing out of your mouth. In that case, Be seated. Let's put our hands together for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I told you today is a wedding service. And I want to say one or two things before we join them. They are qualified to be joined. They have passed all the tests. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm picking my text from the book of Ruth. Can we open it? Just briefly and we close. The book of Ruth chapter 1. Some people don't know where Ruth is. After Joshua, we have Judges. After Judges, we have Ruth. After Ruth, we have Samuel. Okay? And I'm going to read from chapter 1, verse 1, so that we can catch the picture. That we can catch the picture. Hallelujah. If you are with me, the book of Ruth, and let's be reverent, avoid unnecessary movements, please. Take your seat. Take your seat, please. Thank you. I want those who have not read the book of Ruth so that they can catch the picture. So let me read a few verses from chapter 1. Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. Yeah, can we avoid distraction, please? Somebody needs to hear something before we join this week. Some people don't even understand what we are doing. You want to pick wife. You just, because you say your papa marry your mama, you just say me too, I want to marry. You don't even know the implication of what you are going into. Somebody needs to know what is happening here. And we can learn it from here. Lut, root. It's a number of people that call it root, lut. A number of people will say the book of Lut. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have a hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and also, I should also bear sons, Will you tarry for them till they were grown? Will you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah, somebody shout Orpah. Shout Orpah. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Naomi was saying to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, that is where I am going. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if Obed death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. And the little sermon topic today, I title it, The Decision of Ruth. And actually, the decision of Ruth was a decision to be married to Naomi. To cling to Naomi. And that marriage, is not gay marriage. It's not a gay marriage. Naomi, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, we are talking about a marriage that is going on now between our brother and our sister. But you know that what is going on, what we call white wedding, is actually an Eastern culture. And it's a culture particularly of the Jews where they have the wedding garment. And remember that every ceremony in Israel was instituted by God himself. And every ceremony was pointing to something that was on the way coming. There is a marriage, a spiritual marriage, that is going on now between Christ and the church. And to enable us who we worship God by faith to understand, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Worship God by faith. A minister was in my house yesterday, and I had to break down something for him to understand. When the Bible says the church shall live by faith, hallelujah, people do not understand that. I told that servant of God yesterday, you were in my house, I said, there were 11 disciples, listen church, there were 11 disciples that were with Jesus Christ. He groomed them personally, physically and personally. They slept with him, they ate with him, they studied him, he taught them, he told them everything. When the gospel was to come to the Gentiles, it would have been expected that God will use one of those 11 and send them to go to the Gentiles. Amen. But who did he use? He used Apostle Paul, who was not among those 11. I said, I sat down and I was meditating over it. I was saying, why a monumental ministry like that? A monumental ministry like that, an apostle to the Gentile, it will have been one of those who have been with him all these years. 3.5 years. Every day, sleeping, eating, drinking. They saw his miracle, they saw his prayer life, they saw. He would have been one of them. But he chose one that was not among them. Hallelujah. Why? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The reason was simple. It was because, and God was making me understand this, he was going to a people that will need, he will require them to worship him by faith, not by sight. So, he will raise up a man that he will cause that man to also know him by faith, by revelation, so that he too can pass on that. Because if Apostle Paul begin to give certain teaching, you will say it is because he was with Jesus. Hallelujah. And then when Apostle Paul is dead and gone, then there will be nobody else that was with Jesus to continue. But because the church of Jesus Christ is going to be run by people that he will lift up and give them revelation, faith to lead the church, he started with a man that was not with him physically. After that man died, he raised up others again that we also worship by faith. By faith. What is faith? Faith is revelation. Without revelation, you can never please God. The just shall live by revelation that comes from God. If you don't have revelation of who God is, you will continue to worship him in darkness. And the only way for us to understand which way is correct, to give us a picture of what is going on in the spirit, he uses physical things for us to understand. A marriage that is going on, the church of Jesus Christ is called the bride of Jesus Christ. This is the bride of Aloma. The same thing going on here is the same thing that is going on in the spirit. And church, if you don't catch this little thought I want to drop today, you will never understand what we are saying in this church. God is gathering a people he called his bride. That is why we got the name of our church, the Bride Assembly. Every process that has gotten this sister into the relationship with this brother, that is culminating today in this wonderful ceremony that's taking place, is exactly what is happening in the spirit between Christ and the church. Everything she puts on here, remember, the whole emphasis, the whole attraction is the woman. It is only the woman that has a special dress to wear. The man can wear any other dress. Amen. Because, hallelujah. He is the one dressing her. He is the one dressing her. And the Bible says, amen. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, verse 8, it says, the bride has made herself ready. And the evidence that she is ready. Amen. Church, listen. The evidence that she's ready. She is not going to be ready after she's given this cloth. It was because she was ready that she's given this white cloth. He said, and to her she is given that she should be dressed, arrayed in fine linen. Clean, white. And he said, this dress, amen, what is it referring to? The righteousness of the saints. Spotless, clean, white, no impediment. Hallelujah. She answered, she said, no impediment. Hallelujah. And so many more. We have spoken so much about it. We'll be having wedding ceremonies in this church. But the aspect I am looking at today, and we're emphasizing, is the decision to marry. That decision. And we see a time in the book of Ruth where we read. Two women, Orpah and Ruth. Hallelujah. They had made up their minds to serve the God of Israel. Because when they were Moabites, when a Moabitish woman decides to marry a Jew, it is because she has decided, I will follow this man wherever they are, I will serve them. Hallelujah. I will serve them. And I liken that to altar call. I liken it to altar call. You want to give your life to Christ? Come to the altar. Brrr. Some people run and come. But that decision you made to give your life to Christ is soon going to be tested. That decision that brought you to the altar, you went to the for water baptism, the reason is because, amen, there are different reasons why people are coming to Christ. Some are coming to Christ so that they will receive healing and deliverance. Nothing is working around them. So, but they say, if I go for water baptism, I can go. They say, what are they waiting for? Then they will kneel down. Then Chizoba is singing, I surrender. She too, kneeling down here. The brother kneeling down here. I surrender. Oh. Ha! We are looking, we say, see the number of people that have given their life to Christ. Wonderful. But that decision is going to be tested. Two people made a decision. And when the time for the test came, God took away their husbands to see whether they were interested in those boys or they were interested in those people who they represent. The Jews are a representation of something on earth. Christianity is a representation of something on earth. Have you decided to be a church member or you have decided to be a Christian? There are people that decide to become a church member. If you have decided to be a church member, very soon the church will close. Will you still remain a Christian? Their husbands died. And suddenly, what is Naomi doing again in Moab? When she heard that there's revival now going on there, she took off to go back. But before going, she had to ask the two of them. Church, listen. Upper Naomi, come. Their mother-in-law was asking them, I am going back to my people. You can see you have no need to follow me. Let me bless you. The Bible says, all of them say, Nalai, we go follow you. Orpah and Naomi, together. Orpah shouted louder than Naomi, Ruth. Ruth. And Orpah. They all shouted, Nalayo, Nalayo, Mommy, Nalayo, you're not going, no. Chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 9. After she blessed them, the last statement there said, then she kissed them. And they lifted up their voice and wept. The two of them were crying together. Church, the fact that somebody here come to the altar is crying, Wait before you make conclusion. Say, he don't give his life to Christ. Wait. The two of them wept. And they said unto her, surely, we will return with you unto thy people. Surely, we will return. We will return, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we shall see further, two of them, one made that decision from the heart. The other one made that decision from the mouth. It was not from the heart. Orpah did not make her decision from the heart. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Aloma, be patient. Be patient. We'll soon go. If you are with me, verse 8. Just two verses there. Three verses. Verse 8. But what said it concerning the law of righteousness? But what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word is where? In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, hallelujah, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It has to come first from the heart, both from the heart and the mouth. It has to come both from the heart and the mouth. The two of them, whether if it is coming from the heart, there's no way we can know. But we can hear the one that's coming from the mouth. Oh, Jesus, I love him. I love Jesus. I will die for Jesus. This Jesus, I go follow until I die. Oh, Jesus, I know he loves me. Oh, I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. Hey, I love that man from Galilee. You love him. Everybody say you love him. You even wax record for him. That is from the mouth. But how will I know which one it came from the heart? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The reason is this. Hallelujah. Before a decision is made, Christ himself, he taught us, before a decision is made, particularly the decision for your salvation, the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to sit down first and count the implication, count the cost. And so it is with marriage. Before sister, Uchechi, before you, brother, you decided you will marry this girl. Before you agree to marry him, you are supposed to know that once you get married to him, there are implications. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 25. Hear the teaching from the Lord himself. Verse 25. Luke 14, 25. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I read on. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That you must be ready to suffer for Jesus Christ. Verse 28. For which of you intended to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, And today, there are people that are being mocked. There are some people that were fire Christians before. Now, they are out there in the world. And the worldly people are looking at them. Now be you there born again before. If they join us for beer parlor, for nightclub now, they are mocking at you. The reason is because when you decided to give your life to Christ, you carry Bible, you were preaching up and down. I'm a pastor, I'm a minister. You did not know the implication of what you were doing. You did not know that there is a cost that goes with that decision. Verse 29 again. Let's happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, seated not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desired conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. You can't be. Hallelujah. When Ruth and Naomi took a decision, Ruth and Orpah took a decision to follow Naomi. Amen. Orpah did not know that decision will mean everything pertaining to your culture, you will drop it behind. Moabites are different from the Israelites. Amen. Church, listen. When I married my wife, she speaks Igbo. She was not marrying me to make me an Igbo man. When she got married to me, amen, hallelujah, she had made a decision that had made her to drop everything that pertained to her culture. It was now time for her to imbibe my own culture and tradition. And so, when she was coming to marry me, the first thing she's going to look at, number one, this man, they say, na Hausa Ibi, na Hausa man. Me, Igbo, can I live together with Hausa man, Hausa culture? That is the cost. That's the cost. Secondly, this man, within these few days I have worked with him, his head, they do ka. Do I think I can stabilize this head? It's part of the cost. This man, you are marrying. This man. Ha! Hey. Now one room he gets. Will I be able to stay with him in one room? This man has no car. But my father has a car. But this man has no car. Throughout my life, I have never entered taxi. Now our father and we get driver where they carry us everywhere they go. But this man I'm going to marry, keke, he no get. No, it's true. Because some women, after they marry a man, finish, they say, hey, this is not what I bargained for. This is not what I bargained for. Hey, this is not what I bargained for. What did you bargain for? What did you bargain for? You did not count the cost before you enter into the marriage and say, I do. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Opa did not give other consideration. Of course, she may have given the consideration. She may have known. She was only looking for a way out. But she didn't know how to go. So that they will not say, so when Ruth was crying, she too started crying. So that they will not say, the woman will not say, I don't love him. So there are two of us now. But while they are going, she's thinking, me, I will leave Moab. Leave all the gods we worship in Moab. In Moab. In Moab, all the women, they wear trousers. Say, make her go Israel. In Israel, they know they wear a ring. They know they wear trousers. No. In Moab, you can fornicate anyhow. There's no law against fornication. No law against fornication. No law. There's nothing. A woman can have plenty. There's no law. And I'm going to Israel now. They will not allow me to tie something in my waist. I must go with my juju anywhere. She had that in mind as that woman was convincing her. And that is the same thing. People come to Bride Assembly. They hear the type of gospel we preach here. And the same thing is going on. Enter message. Are you a member of this church? I'll be Friday member. Have you been baptized? Yes, we are Catholic. Which one be another baptism? Which one be another baptism? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is one question that Naomi told them after the two of them cried and said they will follow. That question was properly packaged. And he had, look, it was a reasonable question. He said, look, why are you following me? I am too old to have another children. Even if I say, okay, I can have another children now, will you wait until they grow up? Which age will you be? So that they'll come and marry you. So you see, it was logical. It was logical. So she got a way out. She got a way out. The Bible says she looked at. She was the first. Oh girl, I didn't even reason it like that. Ruth, waiting mama to talk is true now. Okay, what are we following her for? Okay, what are we following her for? Men, not them Moab. Men, they're there, they will marry us now. So what are we following her for? There's decision that Orpah made was different from the type of decision that Ruth made. Orpah found a way, and every reasonable reason, have you not heard, amen, that a beautiful sermon, hallelujah, I have spoken here, somebody asked a question, why should you force people to drop a ring? It should be by conviction, and I quickly collected the microphone. I said, no, wear your trouser. Make sure you are convinced first. If you are not convinced, continue to wear it. Then they clap hand that day. Back, 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 back. That what pastor is saying is reasonable. I am not convinced. And anything I'm not convinced, why should I do it? Anything that is done that is not of faith is sin. I am not convinced. Me, I am not convinced. You are not convinced. Amen. You are not convinced. You see? So pastor said it. It was very reasonable. Naomi told the two of them, Orpah and Ruth, you see? So they had reason. Orpah said, it's true now. It's true. It's true. What happened? She went back. She kissed her bye and went back. Remember, when they married those Melon and Shiloh, the two sons of Elimelech, when they married them, certainly a Jew is like the average Igbo man. Wherever he is, the Igbo man is married to his tradition and culture. I say it, I know it, because I'm very close to them. Hallelujah. If you be Oyibo and you marry an Igbo man, he will teach you how to speak Igbo. Oyibo will speak Igbo. If he born children, he will teach them. They are living in America, but he will be importing akpu. Those children will be eating akpu. Hallelujah. That is exactly how the average Jew is. So certainly those two men must have made them to drop every Malbatish way of living. But when the time came for them to escape and go back, they had the same opportunity. One went back. The other one continued. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, immediately she went. What verse is that? Let's go to that same root again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Root. Root chapter 1. Amen. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Is that not the same question Jesus Christ asked in John chapter 6? Open it. John chapter 6. Amen. 70 disciples were following Jesus Christ. Suddenly, time for decision had come. Suddenly, Jesus began to go into the depth of the meaning of his ministry. Except you eat my flesh, you drink my blood, you have no life in you. Hallelujah. Verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What? And if, and he continued, he went further, deeper. Verse 64. Hallelujah. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, that's where I'm going, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. 70 of them, and more than 70. They went out casting out devils in his name. They went out, miracles, signs and wonders in his name. They were partakers of the manna from heaven, the bread, the five fishes of loaf and bread and fish. But when he began to say certain things, it was a time for decision. Verse 67, the same question that Naomi asked Ruth. After Orpah turned back. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Only 12 were remaining out of 70. Will you also go away? Will you also go away? Hallelujah. The same answer Ruth answered is the same answer those 12 disciples answered. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What did Ruth answer? Ruth answered when she was asked. Entreat me not. Verse 16, Ruth chapter 1. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and also if aught but death part thee and me. Somebody is telling Naomi, where you die, I will die. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Your people will be my people. Why I'm laughing is that there are some marriages that your people are not my people. How can a man be married to a woman, or a woman be married to a man, and say the relations of your husband should not come to that house? How can a man be married and tell the wife, now you are married, keep your people away from here? What was your decision when you decided to marry yourself? That scripture is kept there for us. That's the decision you must make. Her people, Aloma, they are your people. Sister Uchechi, his people are your people. In fact, now you, Papa, he has paid your dowry, so even if you die, they will bury you in his village. Is it not so? Is it not so? But that's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is it not the evidence, Sister Uchechi? The evidence that her God becomes your God, her people become your people. Hallelujah. Is it not that your identity, you have decided to put on a new identity? If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That is why, from today, your father's name is who? What's your father's name? Your papa name is who?
You mean from today?
Before today.
Egesimba.
Egesimba. Ochechi Egesimba. Oh, Chechi, once this man paid the bride price, he has substituted Egesimba with Aloma. You have lost your identity. Amen. You see why that bride price is very important. Hallelujah. Christ, the Bible says, we are purchased possession of God. He said we are bought with a price. And the price he used to buy you and me is the blood that he shed on the cross on Calvary. If a man be in Christ, you can only be in Christ from a decision you have made. And once you have made that decision, church, he becomes your Lord. Hallelujah. Sarah, 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, Sarah called Abraham who? Lord. From today, Aloma is your Lord. Wait first. You are saying certainty, wait. Will you agree him to be your Lord?
I do.
You are not saying it loud. Will you today accept him as your Lord?
Yes.
Hallelujah. When you say somebody is your Lord, it means concerning every matter, he has the final say. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Are we there? The book of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, husbands, verse 25. Amen. I'm coming to you now, Aloma. What I want to say now is for you. Husbands, listen, you hear? Don't be distracted. Listen. Look at me. Don't look at her. Look at me. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to who? To who? Are we together? That he might present the church to who? To himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. Number one, from that scripture, you are to love your wife as Christ loved his, the church, and gave himself. That is, you must love Uchechi so much until you'll be ready to die for her. Now, that is a decision you have to take before you marry her. If you don't love this woman until you are ready to die for her, that is a marriage in deceit. Hallelujah. Church. Church, listen. Aloma, are you ready? You love her until you can die for her?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something in that verse, again, I want to stress. Verse 25 says, and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. That is how Christ, without spot or wrinkle, is preparing. From that scripture, I learned something I emphasize in my teaching on marriage and divorce. I said, look, when you marry this sister, you are marrying her, you are not marrying a perfect person. Brother, when you marry a woman, you are not marrying a perfect person. The woman coming, your favorite food may be ogbono and eba, and she may not know how to cook ogbono soup. That does not make her a bad wife. Listen, church. It's very important. Hallelujah. She may not even know how to clean the house. That does not make her a bad woman. Hallelujah. She may not know how to make the bed. That does not make her a bad woman. It is after you have married her, it is your responsibility to bring her up, according to that scripture. No, it's Bible. I'm telling you, that is what that scripture is saying. That he might present it to himself. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Your wife, whatever your wife is a product of your making. If your wife does not know how to receive visitors, you have not taught her. If your wife does not know how to receive your people, you have not taught her. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If your wife does not know how to dress, it is your responsibility to teach her how to dress. Because you are the one that will buy the dress for her. Since you buy the dress for her, you tell her how you want her to wear that dress. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So your assignment begins on this woman from today. To bring her up. Amen. And let me tell you something. When we were in secondary school, some of us did not like mathematics. It is because the teachers did not make it interesting. 2 times 2. You say 3. You say, come on. Bah, bah, bah. Then you say, teach me now. This one, they beat me. So when it's time for maths, you lose interest. See, there is a way you teach somebody to know. And there's a way you teach somebody to let the person know, say, you know nothing. So you cannot be teacher. And then, a teacher must be a man of patience. So the fact that you taught her yesterday, today, she couldn't catch it, does not mean that she is bad. It simply means you didn't teach her well. Start again and teach her. Praise the Lord.